the Gospel of Mark, to Mark's Gospel, and to the chapter number 4, and to the verse 34 of that chapter. The Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4, I want to commence a reading at the verse 34 of that chapter, just going down to the end of verse 1 in the following chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and the verse 34. But without a parable spake he not unto them. When they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Amen. We'll end the reading there, verse 1 of chapter 5. And we do know that God will add his own blessing to the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. With this passage of Scripture open before us, let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee today for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee for the Bible today. We thank Thee, Lord, for this light and this lamp to our feet and this light to our path. We thank Thee, O God, for this more sure word of prophecy. And Lord, our prayer is today that Thou, Lord, will break the bread of life to our souls. Thou dost know the need of preacher and of hearer alike today. And we just pray that Thy Word will find a resting place in all of our hearts. That the Word of God today will dwell richly, Lord, within our souls. And Lord, each one of us might hear that voice saying, This is the way, walk ye therein. O Lord, may we behold wondrous things, things old and things new, out of Thy Word and out of Thy truth today. And O Lord, our prayer is that by Thy Holy Spirit, as we consider Thy Word, then we'll see Christ our Savior afresh in all of His great glory and majesty and power, in whose name we pray and ask all these things. Pour out Thy Spirit to this end, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Now the verses before us that we have read together already this morning in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, they record for us one of the great miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ performed while He was here on earth in this scene of time. Indeed, we must say this morning, as with all His miracles, in this miracle we see the power and the great authority of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed and manifested to us. Now this passage, it tells us about the Lord commanding the disciples to get into one of the little fishing boats and to get into that boat with Him and to travel over the Sea of Galilee onto the other side. We're also told here by Mark how there were other little ships as well who were to cross the sea with them at that particular time. And as they cross over the sea, the Lord goes to sleep in the hinder part of the boat. He is asleep. And while He is asleep, we're told by Mark how a great storm blows up, a great storm erupts upon the sea. And my, so terrific is the storm that the disciples, these men whom the Lord had called to be His followers, those who had professed His name, we see how they become filled with fear. They become filled with doubt. And why they go so far to think that they are going to perish and to sink down into the sea. And because Christ was sleeping in the hinder part of the boat, they think that the Lord does not care. They think that the Lord is unconcerned about them in their need. So in their distress, they come to the Savior and they awake the Savior and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, they put that charge to the Savior as if the Lord did not care. And in response to their plight, we see how the Savior arises. He stills the storm and there is a great calm. And then He rebukes the disciples by saying to them there in verse 40, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And my, the outcome of all this is that the disciples are filled with wonder. They are filled with amazement at the power of Christ that they have seen displayed. Now the record here of this miracle is important for every Christian to consider, and every believer, every child of God to contemplate. And I believe its importance is emphasized all the more by the fact that this same miracle, you find it recorded in the Gospel of Matthew and also in the Gospel of Luke as well. Well, the Lord just doesn't record it the once in His Word, but He records it three times. And my, everything that is recorded in the Bible is vitally important, but yet the Lord re-emphasizes this miracle, and He wants, as it were, to drive it home to the believer, to the child of God, that there's something in this miracle for you and I to glean and to remember and not to forget in our Christian life as believers. Now, the record of this miracle is important to the Christian for a number of reasons, but I want to say this morning that it is important because it pictures for us in a very graphic way the life of the believer, the life of the Christian. For just as these disciples were on a journey, and that journey turned out to be a stormy journey, so also every believer, every child of God, every blood-bought saint of God is also on a journey through the scene of time to heaven, to eternal glory and to their eternal home. And by, there are times too when that journey can become stormy. There can be times when the believer's journey can be beset by storms. And my, the believer in those storms can even come to that point of thinking that the Lord does not care and that the Lord is not concerned. Well, you know, people of God, the Lord does care. And the Lord is concerned about all of His people, about every one of them. Those for whom He bled and died for upon the cross of Calvary. Those for whom He rose again. Indeed, the Bible makes it very clear as Peter writes to the Christian. He says of the Lord, He careth for you. Child of God, never you forget that truth. As you live, as you go through this scene of time, as you traverse this world, that the Lord cares for you as His child, as one of His people. Yes, the Lord cares for all of His people in the journey of life, just as He cared here for the disciples as they traversed the Sea of Galilee. In the midst of this storm. And looking at this miracle today, there are four simple lessons that I want us just to note very simply regarding the believer's journey, a true life. First of all, I want you to see from this miracle, we see how that the Lord is with the believer in the journey of life. The Lord is with the believer in the journey of life. Look at verse 35. Look at the last statement of Christ there to the disciples. He says, Let us pass over onto the other side. And with such words we see there how the Lord promised to be with the disciples, to be with His people as they passed over the Sea of Galilee, as they passed over onto the other side. The Lord promised to be with them. He says, Let us pass over. And you know, this is the same promise that the Lord makes to every believer as they travel through the scene of time toward their eternal home and heaven. My, sometimes the Christian can begin maybe to doubt. And maybe they begin to ask, is the Lord really with me or not? Well, you know, the answer to that question is yes, for He has promised so to do. My promises to all of His believing people, His promise is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My, that's His promise to every blood-bought child of God. Maybe child of God in our meeting this morning, perhaps in recent times, the devil has been attacking your heart and mind, and maybe has sown seeds of doubt into your mind. And maybe you've begun to question the presence of the Lord in your life. Well, don't listen to the old doubting accusations of the tempter and of Satan and of the evil one. Rather listen today to the Lord's word. Rather depend upon the promise of Christ, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, He promises to be with His people. By the Lord promises to be with us as believers in the storms of this life. Remember what He says in Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. The Lord promises to be with us in the midst of the storms. And then the Lord also promises to be with us in the sorrows of this life. You remember the words of the psalmist David. In that great psalm, Psalm 23, he could say of the Lord, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David, as he walked through a veil of sorrow and a veil of tears, my, he knew that the Lord was with him. He knew the Lord's presence. Why, the Lord also promises to be with us as believers in our service for Him. What a promise that is. Remember the final words of Christ before He ascended up unto heaven. And the great commission in Matthew 28, He said to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Child of God, when you seek, as it were, to put your hand to the plow of God and to the work of God, remember the promise of Christ in God's work. Lo, I am with you always. Oh, He promises His presence. But then the Lord has also promised to be with us in the distresses of this life. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Timothy and to the chapter 4 and to the verse number 16. I want you to see here the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy. Paul now is an aged man. He's soon to depart from the scene of time. He's on trial for his faith. And look at what he says even about God's people in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says at my first answer, as he speaks and as he is on trial for his faith, he says at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Those who should have stood by the faithful servant of God, they deserted him. They forsook him. They fled. But I want you to notice in the next verse what Paul says about the Lord. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Oh, in the midst of distress, in the midst of loneliness, when even other believers, even other Christians had forsaken and had left the side of the Apostle Paul, he could say, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me. The Lord was at his side. He knew the Lord's presence. He knew the nearness of the Savior. Oh, child of God, what a promise that you and I have as believers in Christ this morning of the Lord's presence. Oh, the hymn writer was right when he said, there's not an hour that He is not near us, no, not one, no, not one. My, what a Savior we have, and what a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, can I say, if there's someone here in the meeting this morning, and friend, you're still not saved. I want to make it very clear to you today that this is not a promise for you. This is not a promise for you. If you're in the meeting today and you're not saved, that's not a promise for you. In fact, the Bible says you are without Christ. And the Bible says you have no hope. The Bible says, and you are without God in this world. Oh, that you would see that as your state before God. If you're unconverted, unsaved, man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting today. The Word of God says you're without hope, without Christ, and without God in this world. All your life is empty. It is void of God. And friend, please realize this today, that if you die in your sin, that if you leave this world in that state, you will die a Christless death. You will be led into a Christless coffin, led down into a Christless grave, and you will go out into a Christless, lost eternity forever in hell itself. Oh, if you're to have the Lord's presence and blessing in this life, then you must start by confessing your sins to the Lord. You must take the sinner's place. And now you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your own and personal Savior. Now you must seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Tell me today, have you sought the Lord? Have you sought Christ to save your soul and to pardon your sins? Can you look back to a time in your own experience when you came as a sinner to Christ, whenever you trusted Him to be your own and personal Savior and to fit you for heaven? Oh, please realize today that without Christ you have no hope. No hope for time. No hope for eternity. Oh, our prayer, our burden is today that you might seek the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Today God has given you another opportunity, another day of mercy, another day of grace. Oh, that you would make use of that time and that opportunity, that you might come to the Lord and call upon the Lord as your own and personal Savior. Oh, that you would be like the old publican who cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, he sought the Lord for salvation. And that's our prayer, our burden today, if you're not saved in this meeting, that you too might come and seek the Lord. Trust the Lord as your own and personal Savior. Know the joy to have all your sins forgiven, to have your sins forgiven forever, to know Christ as your Savior, as that friend that sticketh closer than any brother, to know the blessing of God in your life for time and for eternity. Yes, we see here in this miracle how the Lord promises to be with His people in the journey of life. But look again at the passage before us, and notice in the second place how we see also from this miracle that the believer's journey of life can be beset with storms. It can be beset with storms. Look at verse 37 there of Mark chapter 4. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. My, you can picture it in your own mind's eye. The wind getting up, the waves rising, and the water pouring into the boat. The little boat was now full. My, as the disciples cross the sea, a great storm blows up. The boat is full of water. The little boat is on the verge of sinking. My, great storm comes their way. And you know, this indeed reminds every believer of the truth that in this life, they are not immune from trouble. In this life, the Christian is not immune from trials. In this life, child of God, you're not immune from times of testing. Remember what the Lord said to the disciples in John's Gospel 16. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He warned them that this would come their way. Again, remember what Christ said in John 15, verse 19. He says this, if ye were off the world would love his own, but because ye are not off the world, but I have chosen ye out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And there the Lord warns us how the world hates the believer, and the world will attack and go against the child of God. The child of God will face times of testing and times of trial. Remember again what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi, a faithful church for God on its day. He said, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. They were called to suffer. To times of trouble and trial and testing and difficulty. Dear people of God, this morning, these verses teach us very plainly that in this life we will all face storms of one kind or another as we make our journey to heaven. Maybe I'm speaking to a Christian, a child of God in this meeting this morning. Perhaps you are presently going through a storm. Why, the storm has been blowing in your life, maybe blowing in your home, maybe blowing in your family. It has come your way. You're going through a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of sifting, as it were, a time of difficulty. Oh, child of God, don't be discouraged when it comes your way. Don't count it a strange thing. Don't think it a strange thing to come your way as a Christian, as a believer. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Peter and to the chapter 4. And here Peter is writing to the Christians of his day, and to those that were going through a time of trial as well. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and the verse 12. And look at the language here that Peter uses as he writes to these Christians who are going through the storm. He says to them in verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved. Oh, they were the beloved of God. They were God's special chosen elect people. And he says, beloved of God, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing happened unto you. And my child of God, the Lord says the same to you today in the midst of the storm. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. Don't count it a strange thing. Don't be discouraged about it. Oh, it's something we are to expect as we travel through this world and as we travel towards our eternal home in heaven. Oh, take encouragement from the passage before us this morning here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. For in this incident, the Lord knew all about the storm that was coming the way of the disciples. He allowed it to happen. In fact, he led the disciples right into the midst of the storm. And he allowed them to feel its fury upon them. But the Lord was with them all the time in the midst of the storm. And likewise, the Lord is with you today in the storms of life, child of God. As you go through the valley experience, the Lord is with you. The Lord knows all about it. And take heart today that the Lord says, I know. Remember what he said to one of the churches in the early book, part of Revelation? Going through a time of trial and tribulation, the Lord said, I know. He gave them a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word from the Master, a word from the Savior. He says, I know. I know what you're experiencing. I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. The Lord says, I know. He knows when you are going through the storm. When you are going through the time of testing, the time of trial. Now, in recognizing the reality that we all must face storms in life as believers in Christ, and they will come the way of each one of us, we may ask the question this morning as believers, why? That's the question we often ask. Why does the Lord permit and allow storms and trials to come the way of his child? The way of his people. Why does the Lord send them? Why does the Lord allow them? Well, the Lord allows trials to strengthen and to purify our faith as believers, as Christians. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. To those that were going through a time of trial, he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And there Peter was telling the believers of his day that the Lord allowed the trial to come their way so that their faith might be strengthened, so that their faith might be purified, so that their faith might be, as it were, perfected as they made their journey to heaven. You know, that is sometimes why the Lord allows the trial to come your way and to come my way as a Christian. So that our faith as well might be strengthened and purified and perfected more and more in the ways of God. But then the Lord also allows trials to come our way so that His power can be revealed, so that God's power can be manifested in the midst of that trial. And we see this here in the miracle before us. Look at verse 39. Look at what it says of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Oh, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this trial, what do we see manifested? The great power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Apostle Paul said when he spoke about the trial of his thorn in the flesh. What were the words of the Apostle Paul? He said this, he said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Oh, Paul gloried in his trial. He gloried in his infirmities, in that thorn in the flesh, in that weakness, in that testing that came as well. Why? Not that he might glory, but as he says there, that the power of Christ might rest upon me, that God's power, that the Lord's power would be magnified and would be manifested and would be made known. And you know, there's sometimes that's the case with us as Christians. The Lord sends the trial, the trouble, He allows it to come our way, so that His power alone would be magnified in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial. But then we can also say that the Lord allows trials to come our way, to come the way of God's people, to come the way of God's church and His faithful remnant, so that His kingdom can be extended and so that His name can be honored and glorified. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and the verse 12, speaking of the trials that had come His way. This is what he said. He said, "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." God allowed trials and troubles to come the way of Paul and the early church in his day for the furtherance of the gospel and for the extension of His kingdom. A child of God, sometimes that can be the case with our lives. God can allow that trial to come our way, into our home or family, whatever. God is working out His plan and His purpose in redemption and the salvation of precious souls. Oh, He uses it to bring souls to Himself, into the family, and into the fold of God. Oh, believer in Christ this morning, always remember that the Lord has a purpose for good in your trial, in my trial, in the storms that come our way. That purpose may be for the strengthening of our faith, for the manifesting of His power, and for the extension of His kingdom. But you remember this? And the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." God has a purpose for good in it all. You remember John Bunyan, great man of God, a great saint of God, a man who faced the storms of life for his faith. He was put in prison. As a father, he had many burdens to bear in his own home and in his own family. And this is what he said in reference to the blessings of trials in the life of the Christian. He said this, "Thou art beaten, that thou mayest be better." In other words, the Lord had a plan in his life and in the trials that came his way as a Christian, that he might live more and more to the glory, to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we see here that the Lord is with us in our journey through life, that there are storms that can come our way during the journey of life. But look again at the passage before us. Notice thirdly today that we see also here from this miracle that in the journey of life, the believer's faith may waver. the believer's faith may waver. We see this from what is said in verse 38 and from what the Lord says to the disciples in verse 40. Look at what verse 38 and 40 says. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And the disciples there were filled with fear. They were filled with doubt. They were filled with resentment, so much that they thought that the Lord did not care. They thought that they were going to go down in the ship and down in the sea. And you know, people of God, if we are honest with ourselves today, we must say that there have been those times in our lives, and we too have been maybe filled with doubt, maybe filled with fear, maybe even filled with resentment at the providence of God in our lives. Perhaps this is even the case with your heart today, child of God, maybe because of things that have happened to you or have come your way. You've begun to question the ways of God. You've begun, as it were, to question the wisdom of God. And your faith, as it were, has begun to falter, and you've been overcome with fear. Now, why is that the case? Why does that happen to Christian? Why does that happen to child of God? In order for us to find out, let us look at the disciples and just see why they faltered here in the storm. Well, the disciples, they faltered because they failed to trust the Lord's promise. What was the Lord's promise? Look at again in verse 35. The Lord's promise was, let us, note the words, pass over onto the other side. The Lord had promised, he had said, that they would pass over that sea to the other side, no matter what would happen, no matter what would come. But now in the midst of the storm, the disciples, they doubt that promise. They doubt that promise. And you know, likewise, our faith will falter when we too fail to trust and to rely on the promises of God. Oh, child of God, remember this, that God's promises are true. That God's promises will stand. That God's promises will not fail you. In the storms of life, learn to cling and to stand upon the promises of God in Scripture. Turn with me, please, in your Bible back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and the verse 89. And what a statement we have here regarding God's Word, regarding those promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Look at Psalm 119 verse 89. It says this, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What did the Lord say to the disciples? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The promise of God you can depend upon. The promise of God you can plead at the throne of grace and prayer. Because God's promises are forever settled in heaven. But we see also here from Mark chapter 4 how the disciples also faltered because they failed to rely on the Lord's presence. My verse 38 there of Mark chapter 4, it tells us how the Lord was with them in the hinder part of the boat. He didn't desert the boat in the midst of the storm. And people of God, our faith will falter as well in the storms of life, and we too fail to rely on the Lord's presence. Oh, in the midst of your storm, child of God, remember the great words of Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, the Lord is there in the midst of the storm. But you know, the disciples also faltered because they failed to take account of the Lord's power. My, in the midst of the storm, they initially lost sight of the fact that the Lord was the great I Am. The one who was almighty, who was all powerful. And that he had power and was able to conquer that storm. Child of God, always remember the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly. Above all that we can ever ask or think, as the Bible says, according to the power that worketh in us. The power of the Lord is almighty. My, there is not a storm in your life that the Lord cannot deal with, that the Lord cannot conquer, that the Lord cannot overcome, and that the Lord cannot bring county. The Lord is the one who is almighty. And dear people of God, we are to prove the power of the Lord in our lives, in our homes, in our work situations, and in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And we're to prove the power of the Lord. Why, sometimes we sing about God's power, we read about God's power, but it's just as if it goes over the top of us and we don't really take it in. We think that's for somebody else. Child of God, that's for you and for me in our day and generation in which we live. We too are to depend upon the power of the Lord in the storms of life. But notice one final thought from this miracle this morning. We see in the final place that in the journey of life that the believer will be kept safe until they reach heaven. They'll be kept safe until they reach heaven. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. Notice what it says. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Notice those words it says, and they came over. My, every one of the disciples, they made it safely to the other side. And both Matthew and Luke also tell us how they all made it to the other side of the land. Not one of them went under. Not one of them had to be rescued. They did not have, as it were, to swim the last lap of the journey. And their own strength, no, the Lord brought each one of them safely across to the other side. The Lord brought them safely through the storm. And likewise, the Lord will bring every one of us saved, believing, redeemed people. He'll bring them safely through to heaven, safely through to their desired haven of rest. No matter what storms of life they may have to face or go through in this life, in the scene of time. Oh, child of God, this is your security today, and this is mine. We will make it safely to heaven, not in our own strength, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great Savior and our great High Priest in the glory, the one who saves and the one who keeps His people unto life eternal. Listen to the words of Christ in John 17, verse 12, His great high priestly prayer. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Not one of God's people shall be lost. Again, recall what Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What was Paul telling them? He was telling them how the Lord would keep them safe unto life eternal. The Lord would keep them secure to heaven until their eternal home and resting place. Turn with me, please, over to the little book of Jude, the second last book of the Bible. Jude, verse 24. What a promise here to the Christian. What an encouragement. That no matter what comes our way, no matter what we face in the storms of the life, that the Lord will keep us unto life eternal. Look at Jude and the verse 24. Jude says here to the Christian, now unto him, now unto the Lord, that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude says, unto him that is able to keep you. What a promise we have. Though we may have to face storms, go through, as it were, a stormy voyage, a stormy journey in this scene of time, the Lord promises a safe journey. And one day he will bring us safely into heaven, safely into glory. What did Jesus say in that great chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 10, about all of his people? But every child of God, every redeemed saint of God, he says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a security we have to rest in today. What a security we have to confide in as the people of God. One who has promised to be with us in life. One who has promised to help us in the midst of life. One whose promises are forever sure. And one who has promised to take us safely to heaven. safely home to glory. Oh, may we as God's people rejoice day by day more and more in what we have in Christ, and prove His power in our lives day by day, whatever storm, whatever trial, whatever difficulty comes our way, knowing that as for God, His way is perfect, and that God is able to bring us through, and the Lord is able to give grace sufficient in the time of need. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us, and we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word and Thy truth, and that which Thou hast been saying unto us and speaking to our hearts this morning about. Lord, just write the truth of Thy word upon our hearts, and help us day by day as Thy people, no matter what comes our way, Lord, to prove Thee in the hard place, to prove the power of God in our lives and in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And help us, Lord, to be faithful even unto death. We thank Thee, O God, that we have a great Savior, a great High Priest in the glory, a one who has promised to keep us unto life eternal. But Lord, should there be any in this meeting today and they're not saved, who have not this hope within their heart, who have not the joy of sins forgiven within their soul today, Lord, speak to them. Open up their hearts like Lydia of old. And Lord, this day, when they seek the Lord, whom to know is life eternal, know the joy of sins forgiven, and know what it is to be ready for heaven, and that all is well with their soul. O Father, answer prayer to this end. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen.